are coming down to the 16th pole. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us live from the Saratoga Backstretch on yet another gorgeous Saratoga morning. It was a beautiful day yesterday. Expect it to be more of the same today. So if you don't have any plans, make plans. Get up here. Make a little money. Enjoy the afternoon at the racetrack. On this morning's show, we'll be joined a little bit later on by Tony Alivato, Vice President at NYRA, among other things, overseas television, including Saratoga Live. So I thought we'd talk about the evolution of that program over the past few years and the coverage the racing game gets via that program on Fox Sports and MSG. That's coming up a little bit later. Thursday means a visit from Mike Welch of the Daily Racing Forum. We'll touch on some of the stakes action coming up over the next few days, and also look back over some of the nice performances we've had this past week as well with Mike. But at the top of the show, happy to be joined by our friend Dave Donk, trainer here on the New York racing circuit. Nice win yesterday that we'll touch on. He's got an entrant in the stakes race this afternoon, the Union Avenue, and more. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. You and I were talking before we went on. I mentioned it. Another gorgeous day at Saratoga.
Yeah, we've had some beautiful weather, mixed in with a few hot days, but it's supposed to be at summertime, but yeah, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it really has been a great meet so far. Again, there have been some quirky days, but that is Saratoga. You have to expect there's going to be a few of those.
Yeah, that thunderstorm in the middle of the day, yeah. That's just, Saratoga summer, very freakish. I thought they handled it well. The conditions were too poor to continue to racing.
Yeah.
But that's summertime.
Yeah, that is summer in Saratoga, as it were. Before we get into some of the horses, always like to get some background for folks who may not be familiar with you. We've talked about it on the show before, but again, we always expect new fans are jumping in every season. So again, give us a little background. You kick things off out the Flakes, the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, I grew up Clifton Springs is my hometown, about 15 miles from Finger Lakes Racetrack. My dad owned some horses, and so got involved when I was young and got bit by the bug and decided at a young age it's what I wanted to do. And I was very fortunate to start out there, and in 1985 I got a job with Woody Stevens as assistant trainer when Phil Gleaves left. I look at it that I've been fortunate to be able to stay for the last 34 years.
Yeah, doing a great job as well. And we made our first trip, did a little OTB on the road earlier this spring. I'd never been to Finger Lakes before. I went out. Now, I'll tell people, easy pop up the thruway. You're off the thruway maybe 10 minutes or so. I was amazed how much in farm country it is, though. It's out there away. I mean, like I say, it's an easy trip and you're right off the thruway, but it's very rural.
Yeah, listen, it's 200 miles from here. It's an easy three-hour trip. Saying that, it's grown up a lot. So, Victor, Canandaigua, like any city, the suburbs have stretched out beneath Rochester. So it's grown up a lot over the years, a lot of construction, but it's a beautiful area. All the lakes and, the wine country and the farming. And that's, I grew up on a farm there.
It's still crossing my fingers that at some point turf course comes in there, because I think it would change them completely.
It's probably what's needed. I'll tell you, you can go back the last 35 years, Doc O'Day talked about having a turf course there, and but it is something probably to continue there that they should have.
Yeah, because it certainly turned Tampa around, and to me it's Finger Lakes is kind of the summer version of Tampa perhaps.
And so I think it's a necessity for New York racing to have Finger Lakes and the New York breeding program. And listen, all the horses can't run here in New York, But it would be a great outlet if we did have a turf course there.
We had some nice Finger Lakes Shippers win here. I know, just walk around the facility, people are now looking at them as the meet progresses. And it seems to happen every year, some ship in. Of course, the most famous one, Fiorito, with Les Hewlett breaking through the gate before the Whitney and going on to win it.
Yeah. Mike Farrell still training there, one of the greatest all-time trainers there of all time. But, yeah, that was great memories.
Yeah, crazy. And, again, I wrote down the streak, and you were there for the end of it with Woody Stevens, the five winners in the Belmont Stakes, Kisa Urshiello, Caveat, Swale, Cream Fresh, and Danzy Connection. So you were there for, what, the last couple?
I was there the last two, yes.
So. And so the first one, it's just the first one. The second one is kind of fluky, maybe the third one. But as the barn got the four and five, was there a realization that, wow, this is pretty good. This is pretty special.
Yeah, when I went to work for him, I came from Finger Lakes. So I did know that I was working for a legend in his own time. The fourth one, the first year I was there, ran 1-2, Creme Fresh and Stephen's Odyssey. And it was interesting because after the races, we were at the barn. Betty Miranda owned Creme Fresh and, you know, a lot of people there. And Woody just made the comment. Listen, he wasn't afraid to be a little egotistical and make a comment, but he said, we had barn 3 and 4 at Belmont. And barn 4 was the two-year-olds, barn 3 were the older horses. And he said, next year's winner is over there. And little did we know, it was Danzig Connection. I get chills thinking about it. Phenomenal streak. And I was just very, very fortunate to work for someone like that. And I always say the Woody Stevens University.
So. Aptly put. And it's one of those records, most records time-wise, that you just think, okay, this will be, and maybe even for a while, but eventually. But five straight Belmont Stakes, I don't know. That one seems like a gold standard that will never be broken.
Yeah, I'm sure you can count on one hand how many people have run in five Belmonts in a row. So, yeah, to win five, especially the way racing has changed and evolved the last 20, 25 years, I'm pretty safe to say we won't see that.
The first one was amazing, too, for folks who are just new to the game, Kisa Urshiello. He did it, five, 6 days after winning the Met Mile?
5 days, won the Met Mile on Memorial Day, came back on Saturday and won the Belmont.
Incredible. So as you say, nice beginning in Woody Stevens' U, as it were. And then last night, I was doing the bio work I do normally for the guests, and I pulled up a video you'd done a couple years ago for Naira that talked about your favorite race, which was the 92 Pilgrim. And I was kind of laughing, and you were laughing too. Awad, who you say kind of put you on the map,
right,
in the Pilgrim, faced off against another one of yours. And as handicappers, and just a fan of the game, I always wonder, what's it like for trainers to enter two horses and you have competing owners? And you said that was a little bit of a sticky point for you in that race. As Awad was a maiden, and what, Dr. Alfous was the other
correct
one you had in there. And again, different owners. And so as they came down the stretch, ding-donging at 1-2 with Awad eventually winning, it put you in a kind of a funny situation.
Well, especially that I was starting out. You know, I had 13, 14 horses in the stable. And, you know, it was, you know, important or a big time for me just to run two horses at a $100,000 race. So, I thought I was running one of the favorites in Dr. Alfous. Awad had run once before in a maiden race at Belmont. And tell you how the times have changed quickly is he had made three starts before that, once at Belmont, twice at Saratoga. There was no turf racing at Saratoga for two-year-olds. And this is 1992. We went back to Belmont, ran in the first maiden race on the grass. Sea Hero won it. Halisey was second, and Awad was third at like 35-1. I'm going to run Dr. Alfous in the Pilgrim. Jim Ryan said I'd love to run, you know, take a shot, and I did. I got lucky. Julie Crone rode Awad. Eddie Maple rode Dr. Alfous, and they came down, ding dong, and 1-2. And I got beat ahead, but you know, it was an important race. It was an important horse for my career.
Yeah, I'm sure. And again, that's on YouTube. If you type in Dave's name and Awad, or you can pull. I found it right away yesterday, and you can see the interview, but also the stretch run, which was a lot of fun too. It couldn't have been more than a head, right? The victory.
It was pretty close. I'd have to go back and watch it again.
They were ding-donging it all.
It was 80% of the purse, I can tell you that.
Yeah, you know the more important part of it. Very good. All right, let's take a look. I kind of alluded to it, but you've had a couple of nice maiden winners at the meet. You also have a horse in this afternoon. Want to touch on that one. But one of the maiden winners, perfect timing, yesterday, as we arranged for you to be on the show, English Breeze. We're going to watch yesterday's sixth race. English Breeze is going to be the number five. Inglis will run second. Mazel 18 runs third. But English Breeze, again, the number five horse in here. 9-1, $20 mutual, but doesn't look like it. As boy, the career debut, she just pulls away in here and gets a chart margin of just under five lengths. Again, this was the debut effort. What were your thoughts before the race and expectations, and after the race, what did you think?
No, she had trained well enough that I thought she was going to run well. I was a little questioned whether turf or dirt, but she is by English Channel. And it's interesting because I went back and looked at the pedigree last night, and there really isn't a lot of turf on it. The mare did what takes place on the dirt and turf, and I remember well when she ran. So I just thought with the good weather, I wanted to take advantage of the grass. Last fall we had so much rain, and we had so many horses that didn't get the opportunity to get to the grass. So she was doing well enough. I toyed with the ideas of blinkers or not, because she wasn't maybe quite as focused. She did have her last breeze in blinkers, and I decided to do it. And I'm glad I did. She was a little bit green about it yesterday. I didn't think she'd win that easy, but I'm not quite sure what the speed figures were in the race and whatnot, but it was fun. She ran a nice race.
What are you thinking next?
Man, that's a loaded question. You're a little bit in a predicament with turf horses because there aren't that many opportunities. There definitely are no races for New York Reds, and she will have to run against open company. The P.G. Johnson is here in 15 days. I'll see how she does. I don't think it was a hard race on her, but I don't have a lot of opportunities. But I'll do the right thing, and I'll challenge her a bit in open company and see where we stand.
Yeah, she looked great yesterday. That was a phenomenal win, again, in a debut effort. Another debut effort going back a little earlier to me. Well, it was really only a couple of weeks ago, the 24th of July. This one, the third race on the 24th of July. Again, this is an off-the-turfer, given the weather situation that day. Sky Kitten entered into the body of the field, but you kept her in when the race moved over to the dirt. She's the number seven horse here. She wins by a chart margin of a length. It's 7-1, so a $17 mutual. This was a pretty good performance. Again, in a situation where we're off the turf, so what's the game plan going forward with Sky Kitten off this nice debut effort, again, in the surface that you weren't necessarily aiming for?
Yeah, it's a filly that I thought that really wanted to get to the grass, and that when it came off, the objective is to go ahead and run and educate him and school him. Listen, she was good enough to win, but it's interesting, as soon as Manning came back on her, said she is definitely a grass horse.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so listen, she was impressive enough to win. It was not a very fast race. It's a very low speed figure. So I'm in the same spot. What do I do with her on the grass? But I'm probably going to run her at Monmouth on the first. The sorority has changed from, used to be a very good race, three quarters on the dirt. It is now 1 mile on the turf. So that's in 2 weeks. She breezed yesterday.
Didn't they move the sapling to the turf, too?
No, the sapling is 1 mile on the dirt.
Tyro, maybe.
The Tyro is a sprint, I think, on the turf. Okay. So I'm probably going to run her at Monmouth in the sorority, knowing that the P.G. Johnson is going to come up a pretty good race. There's been a couple of pretty good fillies here that have run, including the filly of John Kimmel's that won, that probably should not have been DQ'd, but she was impressive.
He said he's going to, even though she's still technically a maiden, he's shooting for the town with that one.
Yeah, she'll go to the P.G. Johnson, I would think. So, and I believe there's a pretty good winner early in the meet, maybe for Todd or somebody, or one of the American Pharaohs. So that is not going to come up in an easy race. Saying that, and I'll probably run this filly at Mama.
All right. Let's get an idea for this afternoon, because again, you do have an entrant in the Union Avenue. You have JC's Shooting Star in here. We're going to go back and take a look at the Dancing Renee, which was, what, a couple of races back. Subsequently, in the Caress, she was off the board. But a nice second place finish to Holiday Disguise in the Dancing Renee. Again, that was on June 15th down at Belmont. Holiday Disguise, the number two. JC's Shooting Star, the number one. Outruns her odds significantly in here, the second place finish. So I'm assuming you're looking to get back to this kind of an effort. But what do you think this afternoon with JC's Shooting Star?
Yeah, listen, it's come up a very good race. You know, she ran very well January 1st on the dirt, three quarters on the dirt, six and a half maybe, and she won. Typically, this filly would be best suited sprinter on the grass against New York Breds. But there are no such things. We don't have those kind of races for New York Red. So, listen, I was really happy with the race she ran here. Linda's filly is a very accomplished filly. It looks like today there's a lot of pace on paper. I'm sure everybody will talk about that. Let's hope it develops that way and everybody doesn't take back. But it also helps Linda's filly. You know, she's probably the best horse in there. But if she doesn't run her best race... And I do, I'd have a chance.
Yeah, that's what it's all about up here at Saratoga. Dave, we wish you a lot of good luck this afternoon and going forward with those nice maiden winners as well. Have a fun, good, competitive remainder of the Saratoga meet and beyond.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Always fun to talk to Dave Donk. In the green room, we've seen him, Tony Olivato, vice president at NYRA. Again, he oversees, among other things, the Saratoga Live Show. So I thought we'd talk about that and how it's changed and expanded over the past couple of years to be a really special addition to the racing scene, not just here in New York, but I think nationally as well. That's all coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a beautiful Saratoga Thursday morning right in front of Clare Court. The horses have been enjoying the morning, the human version also, and certainly looking forward to a very, very nice Saturday or Thursday afternoon up here at Saratoga. As promised before the break, joined now by Tony Olivato. Vice President NYRA, among other things, oversees the Saratoga Live program, and I thought we'd bring him in and talk about the evolution of that. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you, and thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. As I say, talk a little Saratoga Live, which I think is a great addition, I said before the break, not just to the New York racing scene, but the national racing scene as well. But before we do that, let's get a little background on you. How'd you get into the TV game? I graduated from the Newhouse School, and shortly thereafter opened a small television production company in town, and then various twists in the road wound up here in front of the camera. But give us your background a little bit. I know TVG was in there, NFL Network. Give us bio.
I started my career wanting to be on camera, like most people do when they first get into television. But I had a face for radio and a voice for print, so I didn't have much of a choice. But I ended up working as a PA, for a production assistant for ABC Sports. on the Santa Anita Derby, the race that Winning Colors won back in 1988. It was supposed to be a three-day gig. I was getting paid $50 a day. My job was to answer the phone in the truck and say, ABC Sports Santa Anita. Anyway, I ended up hitting it off with the crew, and they asked me if I wanted to come to the Kentucky Derby. I ended up working the Kentucky Derby, and for the first couple years of my career, I would pay to fly to different shows, you know, sleep on people's couches and things like that. Lost money, essentially, working on events, and that was kind of how I got my foot in the door in horse racing. So I worked for ABC Sports. I was the first production hire for TVG when we started the network. I was the executive producer for TVG, so it was my vision that kind of shaped the network. Did that for quite a while, then went to go work for the NFL, which was an amazing experience. Worked with some incredible athletes, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Willie McGinnis, just some really, really great guys. And then started my own consulting company, and Nairo was one of the companies that I worked with. And about 4 years ago, they came to me and said, look, we're interested in doing more from a television standpoint. And that's how we ended up getting started. At that point, we were only doing replay shows on MSG. And, you know, the replay shows were great 30 years ago, but now you get replays on your computer, your mobile. You're not going to wait till 8 o'clock at night to see them. So we converted that over into a live format, two-hour show focusing on the Pick Four, and we pitched it to Fox as well as MSG, and Fox loved it and said, hey, instead of rolling it out on a regional basis, let's put it on Fox Sports 2 and make it a national show. So back in 2016, we started with 80 hours from Saratoga. This year, we're approaching almost 200 hours. And for the year, all New York Naira Racing, we'll do about 500 hours, which is a pretty big accomplishment from the team.
I was over at the Albany Law Conference the other day, and there was a panel, and our president, John Signor, was on the panel, and David O'Rourke from the New York Racing Association was on, and somebody asked, audience member said, how do you bring new people into the game? And David mentioned the show, and I think he's absolutely right. It's on a mainstream sports network. He said it's kind of a long-term thing, but you can pull new people in. Talk a little bit about the mission of the show, if there is a mission, and clearly you're playing like to a ball game to ball fans, but getting on a mainstream sports network, hopefully you can broaden the audience as well.
Right, great question. So, you know, I don't think there's any sport that's ever been hurt by television. So having all these hours has got to help. It can't hurt. Being on a mainstream network has got to help. And when you look at what we're trying to do, the purpose of our shows is to educate, entertain, and inform. And we look at them as an opportunity to pitch what we love about the sport, whether it's from the breeding standpoint, the horseman standpoint, or the gambling standpoint. There's hopefully something for everybody. And we looked at what's happening with sports betting, and sports betting is rolling out all over the country. It's going to come state by state, but it's coming. You're going to have people who are opening betting accounts, and they're betting college basketball games at night where they can't name one player on either team, but because it's on Fox, they're betting the game. Well, why not give them something during the day that they actually have a chance to make money with and that they can enjoy? And, you know, people, one of the things that's hurt horse racing is that the average age of the fan has gotten older and older. And people look at horse racing and say it's going to be difficult to reach millennials because of their attention span. But if you look at millennials, they're looking for the social aspect of events. It's more important for them to be able to go to an event and, you know, hold up their phone and do this at the event than it is to, you know, actually be at the event. So horse racing represents an opportunity for a great social aspect as well in terms of who do you like, why did you pick this horse, who are you betting. And in that case, the time between races can actually benefit us. So we look at these shows as an opportunity to reach those new fans, reach potential new owners as well, to get more, infuse some life into the sport. There's no silver bullet for horse racing, and I'm not going to kid myself and say these shows are going to save racing. But if you combine it with all the other things that we're trying to do, we think it can make an impact.
I've been saying whenever I have somebody in here, you know, I try to get all the on-camera people to sit in at some point, and I always tip my cap. I think that the idea is great. I think the execution is great. Obviously, at Saratoga, I don't get to watch as often, although there's the late-night replay, and as a late-night person, I catch it probably two or three times a week. I really enjoy it, think it's great. I hearken back to what pulled me into the game when I first got in. Channel 9 down in New York, when cable TV first came into this area, Channel 9 was one of the channels on the the dial, and WOR used to have the Saturday afternoon show with Frank Wright and Charles C. Caney. It was a half an hour. You watched two races on a Saturday from whatever Naira track was running. And I remember, and I talk to people whenever I bring it up on the show, on the front side, people, I remember the Charles C. Caney, Frank Wright show.
I worked with Charles C. Caney at ABC.
She was great.
Probably the nicest person I've ever worked with.
She was great. And that show, as I say, pulled me in. And I think the same thing, but you're the 21st century version of that. Last night, again, doing some bio information and whatnot, I pulled up an interview you did on opening day three or four years ago, when the show had just started. Couple hours, now pretty much full card during the meet. Talk about how it's changed and how the workload has changed.
Well, look, credit to, first of all, Dave O'Rourke, our CEO, who put together the infrastructure that's here at Naira, regardless of what track we're at, to be able to do the type of production we're doing. And then the team that we have behind the scenes and in front of the camera. So they're it's one thing to have an idea, and it's one thing to get the hours on television. But once you have those hours, how do you execute it and make it work? In the past, horse racing is high-fived each other when they got on television and then walked away, but the job's not done. It's like having a concert at the track that brings in 20,000 fans that don't normally come to the track. What are you doing to keep them engaged? So what we've done is we've got this team that's behind there. They're working really monstrous hours, day in and day out. They're completely focused on this. If you look at the talent we have, I think we have as good a set of announcers. We have 10 announcers on the show as any sport, not just horse racing. I put our talent up there with anybody, and there's something for everybody. So it's really it took a while to get to this point, and we've grown in leaps and bounds. And sometimes I get a little anxiety thinking about how far we've come and, how we're pulling it off. But it really is a credit to the people that do the work.
Yeah, as I say, I've had some of the on-camera people here, and some others have said, can't do it that day because I've got a production meeting. And so obviously a lot goes into it from early to late. There's the 10 to 11 production meeting, which kind of overlaps, but we pulled a few people in. But also I was down watching the Indy radio show a couple of weeks ago down at the Parting Glass, and Lafitte was on with them, and they were both talking about 1 o'clock at night. They'll get a rundown via the email. So it really is kind of an all-day thing with the people behind the scenes working and just, doing this show and having my own production company for years. I know how much goes into it, particularly when, again, up here, you're pretty much doing the whole card every day.
Yeah, well, if you look at our telecast that we're doing on Travers Day next week, we're on from 11:30 to 6 p.m. That's a long show. And the last hour, the 5 to 6 show, we're producing a show that's going to air on national broadcast, Fox, the same channel that carries the World Series and Super Bowl. So that's a massive undertaking. We're bringing in an entire separate truck for that show, 20 more people to work behind the scenes. So it is a big deal. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is the amount of jobs we've created because of the show, what we've been able to do for this region. And how we are able to publicize things. Like, we have all these races at Saratoga that are named after towns, whether it's the Boston Spa, whatever it is. And we now focus on those towns when we do those races that day and give people a little historical perspective on them. And hopefully the next time they go on vacation, if they come to this part of the country, they're going to stop by and visit some of these places. So I'm really proud of the little things that we've done that help put the whole package together.
And that was a point I wanted to touch on too. We just saw some footage of Acacia in the paddock with Sal Kumin, and part of the show, obviously, those interviews with owners and trainers, but also the feature stories, I think, are really great. And I wonder if that harkens back maybe to your ABC days in Roone Arledge and up close and personal.
Absolutely.
Because
that's
what we try to do here too. When I had Dave Donk on it, when you get 15 or 20 minutes with the top people in the industry who are a golf cart ride away during this meet, I try to get a little background. And so people, I think that pulls people into the game if they can get to know the human side.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing that makes horse racing so great. For every race, if there's 8 horses, there's so many stories within that race. You've got the story of each horse, each trainer, each jockey, each owner, each ownership group, the grooms. There's people behind the scenes that we never get to see. And there's the story of the race, even, is there speed in the race? Is there not a speed? So there's so many stories to tell, and really, you're absolutely right. It started for me back in my days of ABC Sports and Wide World of Sports and working with one of the greatest storytellers of all time, Jim McKay, who taught me about that. And I think that that's what we try to do. And so for us to be able to focus on these people, and even when you look at ownership and part of the owner experience, to be able to come to the races and know that we're going to interview or do a story on you, and get you on national TV and on MSG. That's part of now the experience of owning a horse. And look, we know a lot of people get into horse racing knowing they're probably going to lose money if they're owning horses. Why not make that experience better for them when they come to the races? And that's something that David O'Rourke has really been preaching us that we need to do, and I think it's part of it.
Yeah, and it's been fun. Just this meet, we had the day after they won, Randy Hill and Dean Reeves. They're great owners, and they had the winner when they won. That was a lot of fun. The Jim Dandy, Orlando Noda, who had the two wins at the beginning of the meet and clearly was very excited down the winner's circle, and you guys pick up on that. And as they say, I think that pulls people in. Just some nuts and bolts. I wanted to we saw earlier a live shot from the show that showed the two anchor desks, the one out on the apron and the one in the paddock. I walked around also and took a couple of still shots that the guys can throw up of the apron set and the paddock set. But I'm curious, the apron set's brand new. They used to be up on the roof.
Yep.
I'm guessing it's just to put, and it, I think it works, to put them a little more in the scrum of the yeah. the patrons and whatnot.
You're giving away all my secrets. No, you're absolutely right. So, you know, we had this beautiful spot for the announcers to be able to watch the race up on top of the roof. But if you look at Saratoga, it's one of the only racetracks in America where there's a crowd that's there every day. And so we thought, well, why not put the talent in the crowd and show this off as a place that you want to be at? And so we moved them from the rooftop down to the set. And you could see from that shot, it's early in the day. There's still not a lot of people there. But on Traverse Day, it's going to have a feel of being in like a college game day set for ESPN, where you're right in the action. And how can you not see that if a person who's interested in horse racing say, you know what, I got to be there? And our ultimate goal at NYRA is to get people to come to the racetrack. We're not trying to get people to stay home. We're trying to get them to come to the races, because once you've come to the races, you're hooked. That's our believing. And we will create a fan for life if we can just get them to come here. And hopefully, again, it's the little things that add up that can help.
Particularly up here. I mean, it's so much fun. I tell people all the time, even if you aren't a fan, come to the track, pick a couple of your favorite numbers, play some win or exacta bets during the day, but listen to the music and people watching. By the end of the experience, they're hooked, certainly. Also want to talk, and I think we have a little footage that I pulled up also. Last week, Arlington in the mix as part of the Saratoga Live Show, and I know various weekends, certainly, other tracks are in. The cross-country pick bets have become popular. It seems like other tracks, you know, as I say, you're not just benefiting New York, you're benefiting racing in general, and it seems like the other tracks have kind of bought into it and are playing in as well. And last week, Arlington Million was a great example.
Yeah, and for us, you know, we never want to get to the point where we're just showing race after race after race. I think there's other networks that do that already. We are about telling the stories and getting fans engaged. But sometimes, you know, maybe Saratoga is not a good example because there's so many stories to tell. But when we get back to Belmont, maybe having only two races an hour isn't enough. So we've partnered with Churchill Downs. We're showing their races now. So the idea is to have a race every 15 minutes, one from Belmont, one from Churchill Downs. When we're up here, we're also looking at some of the bigger races around the country. We'll take an occasional race like we did last week. We took three races from Arlington, showcased those. And look, the reaction's been from the viewers. They love it.
Yeah.
And we've gotten really positive feedback. We've got a lot of positive feedback from horse people and from even journalists who like the show. So we're always working to get better. We're not resting on our laurels. We feel like we've got a long way to go. But adding those extra races just keeps the show moving at times.
And before I let you go, as a TV guy myself, I'm kind of curious. You know, you go back to the early TVG days and now with the Saratoga Live Show. How has the technology changed, and has it changed to make the production up here different from when you were first jumping on? And I ask that also because here at Capital OTB, the last few years we've been doing some on the roads. We've done the Pegasus and the Florida Derby down at Gulfstream and the Woodbine Mile and Queens Plate at Woodbine. And typically we would rent satellite time and go through their facility and use their satellite. But the last year or so, we have a little box you stick on the back of the camera. We go Wi-Fi. So now we go wherever we want, and it's made us much more nimble. How has the technology changed in your time?
I mean, just to give and you're 100% right. It's made it a lot easier for us. If you look at what we did at Arlington last year, if we were going to do that, say we had these shows 10 years ago and we wanted to do the same thing, we would have had to rent a full-blown production truck, a satellite truck, and it would cost us anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 to do the event. Instead, we sent this camera that literally has a backpack on it with Wi-Fi cellular technology, one reporter, one PA, and a camera person, and you spend a few $1,000s and you get the same results. It's amazing. Another example is, as part of the Travers coverage that we're doing next week, it's the 150th Travers running. So we look to find who is the oldest living Travers winner that's out there. Oh. Turns out, we believe, we're not positive yet, that it's 49er, who is 34 years old and is in Japan. Well, in the olden days, we would have to hire a camera crew to go to the farm and shoot this horse, and at a significant cost. Now, you know, the iPhones and mobile phones are so good that we can have someone for a 15-second shot, shoot it, and use that, and it's good enough quality to air on television, which is amazing. So it's allowed us to be able to do more and get more bang for our buck. We probably could not have done this show 10 years ago because of the costs that would have been associated. Because the technology's improved so much, now we're able to do that.
Yeah, you probably remember the days when I first opened my company, I was shooting on 3/4 inch, and they always used to say, broadcast quality, it's got to be broadcast quality. And now people are out there with their phones.
I know, it drives me nuts, but some of the stuff looks pretty good. It's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the quality still is very good, but it's just, it's a whole different world now. Tony, appreciate the visit, and again, I'll take the opportunity again to congratulate you and the entire team. Pass my thoughts on, because again, it's not just me on the front side. I hear people talking about the show all the time, and as I say, it doesn't just benefit New York racing, but just the racing community in general. So great job.
Thank you. Thanks for everything that you do for racing as well, especially for this part of the state, and you do a great job. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Tony Olivato, New York Racing Association, again, part of that team that puts together the very nice Saratoga Live, Fox Sports, and MSG. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Mike Welch will talk some stakes action. Stay tuned. Thank you. That was great. That was really good.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on, again, a beautiful Saratoga Thursday morning. Thursday means a visit from the Daily Racing Forum, either Dave Grenig or Mike Welch. Up in the rotation, Mike Welch, good morning.
My turn in the batting order.
That's right. Let's jump right in, because we have plenty to talk about, because first I want to talk about some of the big performances from the last week and your impressions. The first one I pulled up was God Stormy, just because it was phenomenal. It was great. A great story for Stormy, some alliteration there, but coming back a week after the De La Rose. And the interesting part, she would have had a track record in that one, but it had been broken. The four-star Dave getting the track record there. Just a big performance. Number six, Got Stormy, gets it done last weekend. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a genuine wow performance. I mean, you know, I liked her going in the week before against the fillies because she had trained, you know, terrific, but you know, coming in against this kind of a field off a week's rest. I mean, even trainer Mark Cassie was a little reticent maybe to run her back on such short rest. He told me he wasn't afraid to go in against the boys with her. He was looking at the Woodbine Mile as her next start, but owner Gary Barber insisted he paid the bills, and Gary was right. I mean, it was just a really terrific performance. And like I said, it got a big WOW from me, and that's war of will for the Cassie camp, but in this case, it was wow for the effort that this filly put up.
And then after the race, he said Woodbine Mile still on the agenda, and kind of compared her to Tepin, which I thought was impressive.
He actually compared her to Tepin before this race with me a little bit, and I was kind of shocked. Yeah. But after that at performance, I mean, you could see where he was coming from. And she's just gotten better and better. We could see that just from her works leading up to the first of those two wins. So obviously she didn't work in between because she only had a week. But, boy, this filly is awful good right now. It'll be interesting to see how she progresses. That race was a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, she's pretty well set. She just has to keep going out and doing that.
Yeah, Mark had said, I had him on Thursday, and he said the horse was on the track Thursday morning, looked good. He reported that to Gary Barber, and it was all systems go at that point. A little earlier on the card on Saturday, the Saratoga Special, green light go for Jimmy Jerkins, now 2-for-2 in the career, and this was a nice performance for this one. $5.10 was the price as this horse went off the favorite. Chart margin is just under 4 lengths, but again, Saratoga all about the 2-year-olds, and this was a nice performance.
Yeah, if you're watching here in the Black Silks, he did lug in a little bit. He's still a little bit green. He actually bumped the horse on the rail, who was tiring at the time, and he lugs in again here a little bit, but obviously much the best. He showed a new dimension. First start, head and head for the lead all the way. This time, took back, came around. He did come around in the better going, and that it would be remiss if I didn't mention on here that all last week, horses racing on the inside were at a big disadvantage. Horses racing on the outside were at a big advantage. He got in a better going, but it was still a big effort. And obviously there's an upside here because he's going to get better, I think, the further he goes. And he's going to get better with experience because we saw he's still a little bit on the green side. That was only his second career start.
You mentioned the rail last week. What were your thoughts after yesterday's racing?
I thought yesterday the rail looked fair. They finally got it straightened out, because every day is different, so you really got to go in and watch again today the early races. And we're just talking about the main track, obviously. For most of the meet, I think the rail is not where you want it to be. Last week it was particularly bad. So far, so good yesterday. I think they got it straightened out. So as long as it's fair, that's all you ask for.
Some other nice 2-year-old performances from the past week. Gozilla for Steve Asmussen. Certainly there was a little bit of buzz on this horse and went off as the 3-to-5 favorite. 320 it was the win price, the chart margin of 4.5 lengths. Gozilla is going to be the number 7 horse in here. As I say, there was a little bit of buzz, obviously. The horse opened short, continued short, and won like a short price.
Yeah, there was a lot of buzz. And what made it even better, if you had the clock report, you saw that his workmate that he beat won the 5th race on this card. So Steve obviously won the 2-year-old race. And you can see where Rafael Santana is keeping him way off the rail. Very smart, very astute from the jockey, I assume, was given those instructions from the trainer. So, you know, you got to pay attention when these situations come up. But he might have won from anywhere, but the way he had trained. I mean, he's probably been about the best 2-year-old we've seen train here all meet. There's another one coming up on Saturday that's been pretty good, too. We'll see if he can duplicate that kind of performance. The buyer, only 82 or 84. I expected to see him get, I forget which one, I expected to see him get a little bit higher. He didn't, but that's, you know, not as relevant, I don't think.
It's summertime for a 2-year-old, though. You get in the 80s, I think that's pretty good.
No, it's not a bad figure. I just thought he would be a little bit higher. Actually, Jimmy's horse got the same number, green light go. But earlier in the week, we had a 90 buyer from Tis the Law.
We're going to watch that right now. Tis the Law is going to be the number 3 horse here. The entire field was first-time starters. Tis the Law, it's Barclay, it's Saratoga, the old Funny Side team coming back with a New York bred. I saw Jack Knowlton afterwards. They were all watching the replay in the clubhouse. I said, hey, man, you guys bet too much money. I had this as my long shot play on Channel 10 last night. They bet it down to 7-2. The morning line was only 5-1, but it went down a couple of ticks. Boy, won like a champ here. This is Tis the Law.
Yeah, I know. This is a terrific performance. I think probably exceeded their expectations. He had worked well. He had worked with the older filly, Brucia Laterra, a little bit. Brucia Laterra, anyway. And, you know, was an easy winner here. Now, he had the benefit of being outside. You saw that the impassable horse down on the rail, Rudy Rodriguez, his first-time starter, was bet to 6-5 and wound up, after making the lead, they got buried right down on the rail and proved no match for Tis the Law. Take nothing away from the winner, though. A terrific performance. I think you'll see Rudy's horse, though, come back.
Dream Bigger.
Yeah, and Mission Impassable was the mare. That's the name that the horse was working under for a while, so it's kind of emblazoned. That's how we were putting it down on our worksheets. But I think you'll see Dream Bigger come off of that performance and win next time for sure. But take nothing away. A great performance by Tiz the Law. You know, everybody, it's Sakatoga, it's Barkley Tag, it's Funny Side. Maybe not yet, but we'll see down the road. But certainly a great first race to build off of. And, you know, Barkley has some temptation, he said, to look at the hopeful. But I'm going to guess he's going to stay on the conservative side, maybe bring him back in a New York bred stake. And
take the Funny Side route.
Yeah, yeah. Go in at least a one New York bred stake, and then, you know, maybe further down the road, look at some of the bigger races when you get back downstate.
You know, you just brought up something that brought up a question in my mind because I had Bob Baffert on after he won the Whitney, and we talked a little bit about the sales topper from Gulfstream. You were down there, that sale in March, and I said, has it been named yet? And he said, no. And I just saw on Twitter or somewhere within the past couple of days, the horse worked and still hasn't been named. So what do you do as a clocker in those situations?
Oh, we usually take the mare's name and put it down as that, and it goes in, you know, it goes in under the mare's name, and then when they finally, a name catches up with it, and then we switch it over. But sometimes, like this filly, this horse of Rudy's, it works so many times under the mare's name, I just think of it as that.
Also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Kamari from yesterday. I didn't pull up the replay, but won the stake yesterday for Wesley Ward. Coming back off the second place finish, the snudge second place finish over at Royal Ascot, pays $2.50, but Kamari looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, obviously very talented. Great race over at Ascot. First time on kind of boggy ground after making the long trip. Wesley told me the horse had some issues coming out of that 15-length win the first time, which is why he put her on the grass for these next two starts, a little easier on her. And he told me now he might just wait for the Breeders' Cup. He's going to talk to the owners, but he thinks, the only thing that could happen is something negative more than positive going forward. So with the Breeders' Cup as their goal, I mean, she could win another little stake like this pretty easily, sprint stake. But I wouldn't be surprised to see her go back to Keeneland and just train there and wait for the Breeders' Cup.
Interesting. All right, let's take a look at some of the stakes action coming up over the next few days. Today's feature is the Union Avenue. While we talk, I'm going to pull up last year's Union Avenue. It's going to be Benita Bianca winning. I think the top three or four in here all have similar cases for and against, so I tilted towards Benita Bianca. She made an equipment change last year coming into the Union Avenue and moved forward a little bit. Last year it was blinkers off, this year it's blinkers on. I just thought kind of a similar scenario, so I tilted in that direction. And again, this is last year's race, Benita Bianca winning, so I'll look for the defending champ. But as I say, I think among the top three or four, it's pretty evenly matched. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I haven't really seen much of her, so it's hard to tell from that point of view, but it's Jason Service. This horse has run with blinkers before and won with blinkers before. We could see that on the form. The race, the one thing that sticks out about the race is all the speed in here. The pace should be very legit. She can obviously come from off the pace. So I like Benita Bianca, and I like Holiday Disguise. Yeah. I just like the way she's trained. Her last work was her best yet. So she's obviously doing well. She could sit off at two. So I make it one of those two. I don't think you'll get 9-2 on Benita Bianca. Yeah. And if you look for a horse to just throw in the gimmicks, maybe Flat Calm, also a Linda horse. She's training well also. She hasn't run in a long time. I'm not sure she could win this race. But, you know, if the pace gets really hot and she could sit off it outside with Louie, maybe she could come along late and pick up some pieces at a price.
15-1 on the morning line, which I think will hold up. All right, let's go to tomorrow's feature. Tomorrow is the Skidmore. I had a couple of sisters who are Skidmore graduates. The Skidmore, $100,000 for two-year-olds going 5.5 on the grass. I pulled up a replay of the horse I think everybody will tilt towards, another miracle breaking the maiden right here at Saratoga on July 24th as the one horse in the second career start. Career debut was pretty good, second place finish, but certainly improved nicely. And I think off the number last time, as they say, the Gary Contessa trainee will take the action. See any alternatives in the Skidmore?
You know, the one thing, the question mark is obviously the turf for another miracle.
Yeah.
But this horse has answered it in the morning. He's worked well on the grass, so I don't think that's going to be a problem. And he's definitely the one to beat, no doubt about it. He looks like he's, you know, maybe quicker than anybody in here, could get loose on the lead again. Montauk Daddy, first time Lasix, though, has worked well on the grass as well. comes off a good effort, an improved effort, and has the experience on the turf. So I think that that horse would be the one that, if anybody's going to upset the apple cart, it'll be Montauk Daddy. And I would throw Frosted Rose in as well. If the two of them, the two favorites, get hooked up and maybe wear each other out a little bit, Frosted Rose might be able to come along and pick up some pieces off that, you know, pretty good maiden win. It was in a restricted race, that 45,000 horses paid that were bought for 45,000 or less at a sale. So this is obviously a big step up. But if the pace scenario gets ripe enough, then maybe he could come along and pick up a lot of pieces there. But another miracle is still the one to beat.
Well, one of your guys, Antonio Santo, has been bringing some horses up here. And I see he was in town. I saw him yesterday.
Yeah, he's been here for the last week and a half or so. And now the Gunavera, I think he was going back to see Gunavera work, was scheduled for last Sunday, but that work got canceled, so I'm not sure if he even made the trip. Gunavera now, next start will be postponed, so he's got some choices to make, but we will not see Gunavera up here at Saratoga, but we will see more of Antonio Santo.
Unfortunately. All right, let's go through the Saturday stakes in kind of chronological order, starting with race 8, the Smart and Fancy. It is a turf sprint. And I had to pull this up, and I will tell people, keep your eye on the number 5 Chicklet, the number 5 horse, but you can pick it up via the Chicklet. I like Morticia in the Caress back on July 21st. Tyler Gaffleone tries to save ground, which was great, and usually things will spread out in front of you. They just didn't spread out in front of him. He's behind here and just never gets a clear run. I think Morticia was Brett best, but just never had a chance. And then gets stuck again here. She winds up 4th. I have to tilt towards her Saturday in the Smart and Fancy, but there, you know, Fire Key is certainly talented. A couple others that maybe you could make cases for. But what are your thoughts?
Well, every horse player in America, every trip player in America, is waiting for this horse to come back and run. She might not be even money again, but she probably won't be too much more. Sorry to see that Tyler's off. I mean, because the race before, if you watch the replay of the Churchill race, she got like a perfect trip there. And ran that career best 95 buyer, so you know she's capable of that. She's definitely the one to beat. You know, she got back a little bit too far early, just like I'm talking about the first eighth of a mile, and got into a position that she could never get out of. And I'm going to look for her to be maybe try to put her a little more forwardly placed in here. You know, there wasn't much separating the others. Mamanu not in here, Fire Key, and Broadway Run. So. You know, these are trip races anyway, so you got to get kind of lucky. It's tough to take a short. Yeah, it's tough to take a short price in these kind of sprint, you know, stakes, especially when they're so well matched. But Morticia will be the one to beat, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and again, I don't really think it was. I as I watched the race and I had used Morticia, I was kind of applauding. He was saving ground, and usually things will separate. They just didn't that day.
So. No, and that's what could happen in turf races in general, but especially these turf sprints.
All right, let's take a look at the Lake Placid. The Lake Placid Grade 2 event for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. And we're going to go back to the other lake, the Lake George. Scratch reduced down to a field of 3, but it winds up to be a Chad Brown trifecta as he has all three of the entrants in here. It will be Regal Glory, the number 1 winning blowout, number 7 running second, Dog Tag, number 4 running third. But with Regal Glory and Blowout coming back on Saturday afternoon. Seems like it kind of goes through them. Feel Glorious for Christoph Clement is interesting. Vicky Oliver has Wildlife, who's lightly raced, and maybe if you're shopping around, you could make a case for that one doing a little something, but what are your thoughts in the Lake Placid?
Well, I mean, it's obviously a different scenario for Chad Brown here. He's not going to come to the paddock this time knowing he can't lose the race, but he still has the two to beat in here, Blowout and Regal Glory. I just talked to Chad about a half hour ago about the situation and about how this race looks to him. And it looks again like Blowout might be the controlling speed. There's not a lot of pace in here. Regal Glory will be forwardly placed throughout. Again, you know, and he agreed with me, these are trip races, and especially these two are so evenly matched that I think if you ran these two back 3, 4, 5 times, you'd get split decisions depending on the trip. I asked him if the added distance would be a problem. The mile and a 16th this time instead of a mile, he said he didn't think so for either filly. So they are definitely the two to beat. And I agree with you, though, if you're looking for an alternative, I like Feel Glorious. Got beat several lengths by Blowout the last time they They faced one another, but she gets a little more distance to work with, which could be to her favor, and she's working really well. So she'd be the horse if I was looking for a price in here, and I'm not sure how big she's going to get, but she's going to be bigger than Blowout and Regal Glory, that's for sure.
And finally, the Alabama, one of the traditional big four up here at Saratoga, three-year-old fillies, grade one event, $600,000, a mile and a quarter. I pulled up the Coaching Club American Oaks because Guarana was the winner and seems to be sitting at the top of this division that was kind of crying out for somebody to take hold of it, and I think she did with that win in the Coaching Club American Oaks. She's not back, but second-place finisher Point of Honor is. I think Point of Honor will take action in here off of that effort. Point of Honor is going to be the number five horse here. The winner, Guarana, number one. Dunbar Road for Chad has shown some flashes. Lady Apple for Asmussen, I think, has some potential. Yaleli, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for Brad Cox, coming in from a second in both the Black Eyed Susan and the Iowa Oaks. Todd Pletcher has Off Topic. There's a few, Champagne Anyone, the Gulf
Stream. I was going to say, I haven't mentioned the one that I think really needs to be mentioned as an alternative to Dunbar Road. I think Dunbar Road's the horse to beat.
Okay.
Won that last race as easy as can be, the Mother Goose. Again, you know, going to a mile and a quarter is always a question mark, especially from a mile and a 16th to a mile and a quarter. But the way she trains and the way she runs and the fact that she comes from Chad Brown's barn, all indications that the mile and a quarter would probably not be a problem for her. I think she's the one to beat in here. Take nothing away from the ones that chased Guarana last time. But I think Dunbar Road can be, if not every bit as good as Guarana, pretty close, and she just looks like a filly that's getting better and better as she has more experience. I mentioned Champagne Anyone. She did kind of the dirty work in the Coaching Club Oaks, kind of surprisingly wound up dueling with Guarana early and paid the price late. I think you're going to see her sit back here. Her last work was excellent. You see the 59-4. So she's doing well coming out of the race. That was her first start in several months. So I look for her to improve. Whether she's good enough to beat Dunbar Road, I'm not sure. Point of Honor, obviously another filly getting better and better with every start. She doesn't show you anything much in the morning. You would never suspect from watching her work, that she would be this good a filly. But she is, and you really can't leave her out either. She's going to have to try to avoid some kind of a wide trip just breaking out there. But another filly, you look at her numbers, 76, 82, 87, 90, 91. They're all going in the right direction. So, you know, assuming that she handles a mile and a quarter, which I'm sure George believes she will, you know, you cannot leave her out of the equation.
Yeah, fun addition. Again, in a division that was crying out for a leader, it's Guarana, but I still think, you know, things could switch up there. And next week, three-year-olds on the male side get the face-off in a division that Maximum Security, clearly at the top of the division. But does he show up? Does he not show up with the Pennsylvania Derby down the road? There's that opportunity for people to take that. Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, one or the other, is going to kind of solidify, you would think, the three-year-old leader.
Well, we'll see what happens when Game Winner comes here. Yeah. I mean, listening to my colleague Jay Pribman after that work yesterday, I think he's convinced that Game Winner is the winner. Whether Maximum Security comes or not. And I'm just not sure. My gut is Maximum Security's not going to be coming. Originally, Jason Service had planned to bring him here, you know, right after the Haskell to train, and he hasn't. He's kept him back there. It might not mean anything, but he's been kind of coy. He said he's going to work him maybe one more time and then make a decision. But, you know, it's the same owners as Game Winner, so it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they bring Game Winner here, let him win the Travers, and then go to the Pennsylvania Derby with Maximum Security. But I'm just guessing all of this. Nothing is etched in stone. We'll know for sure when they draw those entries next
Tuesday
week.
So we'll see how that works out, the highlight of the meet. But again, a nice one of the original big four this Saturday in the Alabama. Mike will also tout when we have you, and we've alluded to it a couple of times already, the workout reports. Still plenty of opportunities for folks to add that tool to their toolbox. You guys do a great job, particularly with the two-year-old races. It can give you some real insight.
I think it's worked out well so far. And again, we have a lot of two-year-olds coming. We've got one or two this weekend. We got one report on one that's pretty good. And, you know, between now and the end of the meet, there'll be a dozen more of those. So a dozen more of those races. I don't know about a dozen more of those kind of horses.
Well, we'll certainly hope so. DRF.com, the hard copy of the Daily Racing Form. You can read Mike's work article column-wise as well. But the workout report, highly recommended for, as I say, an added tool to your toolbox that can give you some information that a majority of people don't have. So that means some extra value. Mike, always appreciate the visit.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll take one more break, come back, and wrap up this edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
You guys got my names.
Your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Up here on a Thursday morning, I want to thank Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum for joining us. Tony Olivato from the New York Racing Association. Nice discussion about the evolution, everything that goes into their really nice Saratoga Live program, Fox Sports and MSG Plus, and also Dave Donk, top of the show. A couple of nice two-year-old winners so far. That horse yesterday, English Breeze, really looked good. So we'll see what's up next for them. And again, JC's Shooting Star in the feature race today. The Union Avenue. All right, let me hit you with some of the promos coming up here at Capital OTB. Today, Beat the Handicapper online contest. Brian Addo will be the handicapper. Take your shot at beating him, and if you do, you get in a drawing for a $50 deposit to your account. Check out the website for more information, capitalotb.com. Fan Appreciation Day today at the Sportsman's Bowl branch. That's 1652 Crane Street in Schenectady. That goes from 1 until 5 this afternoon. First 25 folks, a bet voucher, a giveaway, and a program. There'll be a contest available to everyone, food and beverage. Should be a lot of fun. Give us our chance to say thank you to you. Fan Appreciation Day today at the Sportsman's Bowl. Fan Appreciation Day tomorrow, my old burg, the Amsterdam branch, which is new from when I went there. It used to be in the mall. Now it's down on Main Street. Swing on by tomorrow, the Amsterdam branch from noon until 5 against, again, the first 50 folks. Bet voucher, giveaway item, a program, a contest during the day, food and beverage. That's tomorrow at the Amsterdam branch on Main Street. Tomorrow there's also the return of the bounty bet, $300 up for grabs as we have reset. Somebody took down the entire bounty last week. See if you can do it this week. All you have to do is play the late pick 5 Friday afternoon with your Capital OTB bet account. And you're in for a shot at the bounty. Friday, also, there will be a late pick 5 bankroll with Mike Callahan. Your chance to get on the team at capitalotb.com. $1,000 bankroll on Saturday. Sully Crotty will be in here, live cut-ins throughout the afternoon. You have until tonight, Thursday night, to sign up for the potentially getting on the bankroll team. Again, more information on that at capitalotb.com. Take your shot to get on that $1,000 Saturday bankroll team and watch Saturday afternoon as Sully plays and hopefully makes a lot of money for the team. Saturday also Empire 6 promotion down at the clubhouse racebook. Sunday there's a double promotion at the clubhouse racebook.
7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. And there's also going to be, with the mandatory pay, and there is a mandatory pay on Sunday, there's going to be a bankroll. I'm going to have $250 to play for a team as well. I think you still have time to sign up for that. I'm looking on the graphic. I don't see the deadline, but I'm you still have to be able to sign up today. So the game plan, go to capitalotb.com and check your spot to get on the team that'll be playing for that Empire 6 mandatory payout coming up on Sunday. $200,000 plus, it says. We're keeping our fingers crossed that it doesn't get hit in the meantime, and we'll get to shoot for a nice big pool on Sunday with our $250. Again, take your chance to get on the team by going to capitalotb.com. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Thursday morning here at Saratoga. Again, another gorgeous morning. Sun is shining. Temperatures are very comfortable. The racing card looks good. So make your way up. If you can't make your way up, stop at one of the branches or the clubhouse racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany, or play via the computer or on your phone or tablet. Jump in this afternoon. Great racing day at Saratoga continues. Oh, also want to remind you, we talked about it a little bit, mentioned it earlier in passing, but Thursday also means the Andy Serling radio show. Don't forget that down at the Parting Glass. I missed last week. I expect to get back there tonight, but it's always a lot of fun. Parting Glass, 8 o'clock every Thursday. Although next week, I think Travers week, Andy said it would be Friday night, but this week it's Thursday. So it's tonight, 8 o'clock, Parting Glass. Stop on down. Always a good crowd down there. Racing fans, good racing conversation. Parting Glass for the Andy Serling radio show tonight at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow morning here at 9 o'clock, more Racing Across America. Actually, Racing Across America 10 at 9. It's the Handicappers Report. I'm back in for the Handicappers Report tomorrow. So I have the two-hour shift tomorrow that starts at 9. We'll see you then.
CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.